Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 Episode 191 is doing TRT while on with Prescription Drugs Safe by Parapharma. So in this one, we're going to go over understanding what TRT is. We're going to talk about indications for certain prescription medications, talking to your doctor, how to do it with blood work, and Parapharma cycle options. First, let me remind everyone, we are on Apple, we are on Spotify. We're doing our best to keep this podcast going. We're on a bunch of platforms. We're also, you can always come on evolution.org to listen to the podcast as well. But it's very important on these platforms to like, subscribe, comment, give us ratings and all that good stuff. Tell your friends and family so we can spread this podcast and grow it from here. The algorithms do not like our podcast at all. And we can't get advertisers to sponsor our podcast like these other podcasts who talk about clickbait and talk about gossip and all that crap. So we have to depend on you guys to support our podcast. This is from the ground up. This is about everybody working together and making this podcast grow. So you can do that by doing what I said. Comment, like, subscribe, do all that good thing on all the platforms that we are on. Let's get into it first. It's about understanding TRT a little bit. Now, TRT stands for testosterone replacement therapy. You can also call it hormone replacement therapy. But when you say to people these days, hey, I'm on TRT, a lot of people understand what it is. 10, 15 years ago, a lot of people didn't understand what it is. So it's become very mainstream today. I think a lot of people are going on TRT. You have anti-aging clinics offering it. It's so easy now to get on TRT. Even if you're in your 20s, they're putting people on TRT in America now. I don't know how it is in Britain, but if you go through a doctor, an endocrinologist, a urologist, or your regular GP doctor, he'll refer you to a specialist. You can get on TRT and you can get a prescription for it. And look, at the end of the day, these hormones are powerful stuff. And a lot of times we see out there people run TRT at different dosages. Now, there's three types of TRT. And the first type is your regular TRT. And I would describe that as going anywhere from 90 to 125 milligrams a week. Then there's something called sports TRT. And that's going from, I would say, 175 milligrams up to about 200, 225 milligrams. And then there's bodybuilder TRT. And that's going 300, 400, 500 milligrams a week. That's the abusive TRT that we see professional bodybuilders and gym rats who just have no care in the world for their health and just want to stay on gear year-round. We have a few of those guys on the forum. And look, your body, your choice. If you want to do it, just be aware of the risks of doing that. You're going to be really hammering away at your blood work. Your blood's going to thicken up. You're going to open yourself up for blood clots. You're going to open yourself up for stroke. There's going to be a lot of risks. Your kidneys are going to take a beating. And as we're going to talk about on this podcast, your liver is going to take a beating, especially if you're adding other prescription drugs to it. So a lot of people do things. We have a guy on the forum too, one of your buddies, Mobster, who does Tren as his HRT. He stays on Tren year round. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care about his blood work or anything. So at the end of the day, there's different types of TRT. But it's clear that if you go to a legitimate doctor, he would put you on legitimate TRT, which is the real TRT. Now, if you go to an anti-aging clinic, what happens is in America is they want business. They want you to go tell your friends that you work out with or your friends at the tennis court, hey, guess what? This clinic put me on 200 milligrams or 250 milligrams of testosterone a week. And then the guy's going to be like, wow, my doctor is only giving me 100 milligrams a week. You're getting all that from your clinic? Man, I got to go to your clinic. So then he goes to the clinic and he pays the money to get more testosterone with a script. And he's like, wow, that's a great idea. Why not do more? But the clinics don't care about your health. The clinics are fly by night. They'll open up a few years. It's just like clubs or bars or restaurants. They open up a few years, then they close. Then they'll open up at another location and close. They're fly by night. They don't care about your long-term health. They care about making as much money as they can in the short term. And they'll make as much money as they can, then they'll close up shop, cover their tracks, and move on, and they'll rename as something else. It's just like some of these underground sources out there where you have people doing toilet gear, you know? It's the same thing. They'll open up, they'll call it something, they'll sell as much gear as they can, they'll selective scam you, they'll shut down, and then they'll open up under another name and do it all again. It's just like crypto scams, same thing. They'll do a crypto, they'll bait people to come in, then they'll rug it, and then the developers will go start another crypto and do the same thing and rug it and screw people the same way. So it's all about making money. So at the end of the day, there's so many different options you can do. And when it comes to TRT, and my goodness, we see people running Monster over 500 milligrams a week of quote unquote TRT.
Now, some in that particular example you've just given, Steve, I actually made a note while you were talking, and I put misuse of the term. Some people actually refer to steroids as quote unquote supplements, and I've literally in the last couple of weeks said no, those are performance enhancing drugs, and you must understand that they are drugs because if you start to think of them as supplements, you'll treat them as supplements, and you won't look at side effects, you won't treat side effects. You're just, you know, it's not the same as taking twice the dose of creatine or twice the dose of your joint product. It's literally a drug that you're putting into your body, and you need to understand that. And not only that, even if they do, and 9 times out of 10 they will do, Steve, it's the person reading, and especially those people that we have far more people that read and follow than comment on our threads on the forums, and that's as busy as evolutionary can be. Hundreds of thousands of people. Versus, for example, 1 or 2 thousand that will interact. That still means 98% are just reading. So we need those people that are reading, that have come onto the forum, done a little bit of research, found out the answer to a question to go away. They must understand the nature of what they're doing. And so misusing the idea of TRT, when realistically you're doing twice the amount you would ever be prescribed, you're not having your bloods monitored. You are literally kind of rolling the dice, as I've said on other shows, is important. I did look, I made a few comments while Steve's talking. So one of those referred to, and I'll start with this one, Steve, TRT at age 20. And I'm thinking specifically, as Steve also said, of the way that we treat testosterone issues via the NHS, via the National Health Service here in the United Kingdom. And I would argue, Steve, that unless this person has missed bollocks or have some very specific medical issue, they might have had treatment for cancer, for example, very young, does happen. The likelihood of a young man with low testosterone levels, in the great scheme of things, being prescribed testosterone on the NHS is extremely low. The percentage of men with low testosterone being prescribed testosterone on the NHS is low, full stop. And 20 years of age is very, very low. You can talk to your doctor about it, but it's very unlikely you'll get put forward for it. And again, you can do it privately via a private doctor and pay Harley Street prices, or you do what a lot of us do, myself included, which is buy it via approved sources like companies like Parapharma and self-prescribe. But again, the more you understand about these things, the better. So in the case of the 20-year-old Steve, I would be looking for root cause. Is he overweight? Is he obese? Does he need something like a GLP drug? A better diet, a better lifestyle. You can't just throw medications. You should be treating the root cause of a medical issue as well as just prescribing a tablet or a pill, or in this case, an injection. So, again, just the history of TRT in the UK. We are, same as America, seeing more companies. I've actually recommended a couple that do blood tests via the forums to check for testosterone levels. You can now do testosterone checks by the mail. Just this morning, pre-show, looking up the interactions, etc., or contraindications for TRT with various medications. Adverts start to come up, as is the algorithm. And one of those, ironically, Steve, was for a testosterone booster. So even that is a recommendation that we come forward. I will talk about, finally, Steve, the positives of TRT. I'll address the sort of the extreme example, but even in my own case, and other people that I talk to, there's some good examples. So the extreme example might be someone who genuinely of an age, of a condition, or arguably what we call low T. In other words, it's just at the bottom end of the normal range. And as per this advert this morning, you have that feeling of low energy, you feel kind of old, before your time, you haven't got the get up and go that you used to have at work, in life, with your missus, whatever. And the idea, like myself, Steve, being on TRT, I'm at the bottom end of the kind of more sensible amount, which would be 200 milligrams per week. And my preference would be for testosterone cypionate, but in that, that's good, and we'll talk about that later on in the show. And I left it for as long as possible. I think I just started the last, just before my 60th birthday, a few weeks before my 60th. I'm going to be 61 in a couple of weeks' time. And I've always cycled off my steroids. I left taking steroids to age 37. And one of the things I said on a previous show when we talked about TRT was I didn't think that there would be that much of a difference. My libido is kind of constant. It's not stupidly high, although it has been in the past when I was showing kind of affection, shall we say, to as many women as possible. But it's always been kind of constant. I have a certain level in the river when that comes from training and whatever else. So I was thinking, okay, you're pushing the envelope in the gym. You can't be on steroids year round. I don't cycle year round. Once or twice a year is about as much as I like to do. Maybe a little bit more than that when I've competed back in the day. So I was thinking, yeah, we'll see. 200 milligrams, testosterone supernate, and boom, Steve. I would argue that my libido went up to a kind of new level if on consistency. I did notice the difference. And I was surprised at this. It wasn't some sort of overnight transformation. If you are a low T kind of guy, and this is why I want to talk about a positive, Steve, what have we seen? We've seen kind of borderline asexual, not really interested in getting your leg over, as we say here, not out clubbing, et cetera, feeling kind of tired and ancient. And they've gone on a perfectly nice dose of 90, 220, 125 milligrams, as Steve said. And they've gone from the lower end of the 300 nanograms a deciliter, which is typically the normal range. For standard eight, you definitely want to be looking at TRT. And the upper end of the normal range for a person with healthy T levels is the upper end, and I mean the upper end, is 900 nanograms a deciliter. And these guys have only gone from the 300 or just there or thereabouts, Steve, to mid-range, which is kind of what most clinics, and especially NHS in this country, would have you do. They're not trying to turn you into Superman. But the transformation for those people has been out fucking standing. The levels of energy, the pep, the get up and go, the want to exercise more, no longer tired at the end of the fucking day because they've had a stressful day at work, handling stress at work, out kicking ass if you're a salesman, getting more sales because of your positivity, if you're a politician or a manager or so, working with your workforce better, working, persuading people. Literally, the things that make a man and a woman make a woman, the emphasis on the masculinity, the emphasis on the get up and go, for some people, it's transformative. So there's absolutely, yeah, just retaining more muscle tissue, Steve, being able to push slightly heavier weights. I have, just to finish this to the thought and subject, two or three buddies, and I've mentioned these on other shows, at my local gym. Two of which are in their 70s. One, I think, is 77. One, I think, is 71, 72. Two or three others that are in their 60s. I know because I physically helped one specific one with injections, and the other one's had assistance in a different way from me when it comes to TRT. That the you would not believe the 77-year-old is 77, Steve. He was benching 110 kilos this morning. I was spotting him. I've had him bench to a lifetime PB of 125 kilos. That was 2 or 3 years ago. The other buddy, what just he's lost his wife, I think it's coming up on 2.5 years ago, was out dating recently, Steve, with different women, looking for a new girlfriend in his early 70s. For crying out loud, these guys are in the gym 5 days a fucking week, if not six, not trying to be the biggest, strongest motherfuckers known to mankind, but you wouldn't think that they were the age that they was. So again, that's not doing crazy amounts a year. That's literally, again, around the 200 milligrams a week. They're able to train. They're able to keep fit. They have a healthy lifestyle. And again, I'll name him on the show as Ken Williams, 77 years of age, Steve, looks at least 10 to 15 years younger than he is. This is not someone that's dyeing their hair or fucking, hiding the grey, all that kind of rubbish. It's just normal Joe kicking ass in the gym, benching. I literally decline bench this morning, 110 kilograms, with me spotting him for reps at 70 fucking 7 years of age, Steve. So yeah, listen, guys. You must understand that there are possible issues, so we're going to get into that, and why you should talk to your doctor. We're definitely going to talk about that. There are ways of doing it. We're going to give you advice how we would do it. Please understand, and I will say this as we do in a disclaimer at the end of the show, we are not doctors. What we're going to try and give you as best as possible is information that's out there for you to look up for yourself, but also our kind of common sense, call it a sensible, if you like, protocol or reasons why you should understand that there might be contraindications and why this could cause issues. And you mustn't just go, I'm taking this medication, I'm taking that medication, and kind of ignore the fact that you might be missing something yourself because you're, and we've all done this, Steve. I've done it with supplements, not looked up information. You need to, and you're listening to this show, guys, because you want this information. So this is why we're putting it out there for your benefit.
So Mobster, we'll get into our next topic, but let me just talk about me a little bit. I'm not on TRT yet. I'm in my mid-40s, but in the future, look, I'm open to doing it, along with the possibility of growth hormone as well. And growth hormone would be another option you could add to your TRT, HRT. But in the meantime, look, I'm avoiding it because I'm properly cycling steroids off and on. I'm doing a solid PCT. I'm making sure I'm not running my cycles too long. I stay at 10 weeks usually, maybe 11 weeks. That's it. Sometimes 8 weeks, sometimes 7 weeks. So keeping the cycle short will keep your body's HPTA healthy. You won't burn it out. It could take one long cycle, quote unquote, which I don't even consider a cycle, to basically burn your HPTA. There was a guy, I think he was on like 9 months. I saw him post a few days ago, and he's saying that my testosterone levels are low. I'm like, dude, you were on for 9 months. What happens when you do that? Your pituitary glands shut down for 9 months, and it's hard for them to come back. So these hormones can cause these issues. And one of the issues these hormones cause is permanent reproductive system destruction. So this is why it's very important to be aware of this. And the younger you start using steroids, the sooner you're going to need TRT. And the longer you run cycles, the sooner you're going to need TRT. So it's something definitely to think about. You don't want to just go on TRT just to go on TRT. It's like having a money tree in your backyard. A money tree is growing money, growing money, growing money. And then one day you decide, yeah, I'm just going to chop the tree down. And you chop it down, now there's no more money coming. So if you're getting to your body's pr producing hormones on their own, why would you interfere with that when it's not necessary? So you might as well just cycle steroids for as long as possible. And then one day when you get older, you can choose the TRT route. Another thing to consider, Mobster, I'll let you touch on that and you can get into the next topic, is if you do decide to go TRT, you can always do self-TRT. A lot of people complaining out there, they're like, oh, my doctor isn't putting me on the dose I want. My doctor doesn't listen to me. I'm tired of paying all this money to go. I'm tired of wasting this time going to doctor's appointments and doing this or doing that. You can always do self-TRT. You can get your blood work on your own. You can use Parapharma. They have different options for TRT, which we're going to get into later on the show. And that, for a lot of you, would save you money depending on your insurance. Now, if you don't have insurance, if you're like me, you don't have any health insurance. For me, it makes more sense just to do self-TRT rather than going to a doctor, than having to pay for them to send me to get blood work done when I can just get blood work on my own and order it online on my own. So I'm saving money that way, and I'm kind of doing it on my own. I am doing it on my own, not kind of, I'm doing it on my own. So in that situation, but let's say you have really, really good health insurance, then absolutely you want to go to a legitimate doctor. This way you can take advantage of your insurance if you're in America, and you can, 90% of Americans are on some type of health insurance, depending on what state you're in. Some states it's closer to 100%, in some states it's closer to 80%, just depends. But if you are in a state where you have good insurance and you have your job, you're paying for that good insurance, you might as well take advantage of it, and you'll end up getting your testosterone for $5 or $10 a vial, from actual pharmacy. But if you still would rather just do it on your own, you can go to Parapharma and you can still get a great deal on their testosterone, which is very, very, very affordable. The nice thing about TRT monsters, you only need a few vials a year if you're on a proper TRT dose, and you're good, you're set for the year. So
Oh,
that's
God,
it.
yeah. As an example, a 10 mL vial, 200 milligrams per milliliter of testosterone supernatant is 10 weeks. And even here in the United Kingdom, the worst prices you guys could possibly pay would be the equivalent of £3.50, which is about just under $5 the per week for your TRT. Now, compare that to the kind of prices you typically would pay for a clinic. Even if, and Steve and I are going to touch upon this later on, you did a blood test yourself that you paid as a separate thing. We looked, and it's probably different now, Steve, but when you and I have done previous shows, we were looking at typically the equivalent of $200 as a minimum, and that was assuming you were buying nothing else via them cross-selling you products. He wasn't doing growth, he was just having a single long-acting. Maybe every couple of weeks, but typically, like in the NHS again, it's every 6 weeks with testosterone on decanate, the longest, ester. And again, that would be a big injection in that particular example of about 1,000 milligrams. But again, price wise, it is a lot less. I don't care what source you're using, but again, with a company like Parapharma, way less for you to do it yourself than with a clinic. A couple of points, Steve, and I think we should always say this, as we always have done when we've talked about TRT. Some people use, and I mentioned it earlier on, interchanging or swapping out meanings of words, like the supplement example I gave earlier on. There's a way that some people talk about in the forums, and I have pointed this out fairly obviously. Genuine, proper TRT, especially when it's done with a clinic, but for the most part, and again, I like Steve, the way that Steve was talking earlier. I left it till I was nearly 50. Well, I think I was 59, nearly 60, and then went on TRT. So I left it for as long as possible, like Steve. Genuine, proper. My thought process, and I suspect Steve was identical, is it's for the rest of your life. It's not something you do for 2 or 3 years. You will suppress your hepto. You will arguably, as Steve said, and we have seen examples where people have tried to come back and disprove this point in terms of they suddenly realize it's fucked their fertility. And they want to have kids, and I've been on constantly for years, even at TRT levels. That's kind of the way that TRT works, and it, we only get to see the success stories. We don't get to see the ones that have failed to produce viable sperm and have a kid. So you need to understand, for the most part, you're probably going to suppress your hepta. You're probably going to fuck your fertility, and you do realistically, I would argue the same as Steve, want to leave it for as long as possible. We are seeing examples of people in the late 20s, early 30s. 35 is about the level when your fertility starts to drop off. So, yeah, look, let's talk about the contraindications here. So, specifically, today's topic is the suggestion, the idea of are there going to be issues using TRT and at the same time being prescribed certain medications. And I'll just give you a very quick, the short answer is yes, absolutely. And I did a little tiny bit of research, as you'd imagine, for this show. Drugs.com suggests, and I'll just read this out, Steve, there are 189 drugs known to interact with testosterone, along with t 11 disease interactions, one alcohol-food interaction. Of the total drug interactions, that was 189, as I listed earlier, 13 are major, 172 are moderate, and 4 are minor. So let me look over to this second reference here. And this was this is the particular thing that's important. And I'll read these out specifically, Steve, because it's important for us to understand. So the main issue here, and so there's a different way of looking at it, is blood thinning drugs, and we're going to talk about why. Arguably, and I said this to Steve in a pre-show, some of the medications are actually medications that bodybuilders might use. So, for example, I've mentioned the blood thinners, insulin, corticosteroids. So you are literally being given a corticosteroids or corticosteroid, just to be pronounced this correctly, which is there for you for a specific medical complaint that you've got. And then you kind of negate in that effect, which we'll get into by taking an anabolic steroid. Some antidepressants here, Steve. Some anticonvulsants was another one. And what I thought of that 189 list earlier on, and I said this to Steve in a pre-show, what we're probably looking at is multiple medications for the short list that I've just given you. So these five medications might treat one condition, four medications might treat another condition. So we want to be specific here when we discuss the reasons why there might be a contraindication. An obvious example, and it's a very simple example, is the blood thinners thing. So you are taking probably a blood thinner, and let's say for argument's sake, it's because your blood pressure is all over the place, or you have a medical condition which is not allowing your blood to stay at the normal consistency. And then you take anabolic steroids. And the classic example here, Steve, not that it's a really a TRT drug, but the classic example that you and I have discussed, the horrendous pumps on, which comes from uptake of is things like more of the different kind of blood cells, uptake of oxygen into your blood, and so on and so forth. How uncomfortable have the Anavar pumps you and I have discussed before been? And do some steroids, specifically anabolic steroids that we're using to benefit us in the gym, do they thicken blood? And the short answer is yes. So you are taking a blood thinner to thin your blood, to allow it to flow around your body nicely, etc., like a normal consistency. And then you've gone and taken an anabolic steroid that thickens your blood. And that's a really, really simple example. An anticonvulsant would be another example, Steve. Imagine you have a medical condition, your brain, because that's the way that this stuff works. And, you are essentially having a fucking fit if you, or you might have fits, a convulsion, if you don't take the medication. And then you are taking a medication that might make you have convulsions because it's going to negate the effect of a prescription drug. Now, some prescription drugs are just as powerful on a milligram for milligram basis as the effect that you might have on testosterone. But I would be worried about, Stephen, those examples. And I think sometimes what happens, and we might want to talk about this as well, is that, and I've probably been a little bit guilty of this, maybe Steve has in the past. We've been so focused, for example, with Steve and I have both had around the same amount of weight, our 400-pound plus bench presses, Steve, and our ambition to bench press more than 400 pounds. Steve was a good example that he ended up using Tren, ended up with a heck of a bench press, especially at his then body weight, and damaged his shoulder. I've done my most recent fucking effort. I couldn't tie my shoelaces up for 3 fucking days, Steve, after doing the 460
So
kilo
they mean,
squat. So yeah, we can get focused. Sorry, just to finish. So we can get focused on something that the anabolic steroids are going to assist us with, and almost forget that there might be health issues with the medication that we're taking for other conditions that we might have. Yeah, so over to
So
you.
that Iowa mobster is saying, I did, I looked into it. I read some literature before the podcast last night as I was prepping for this, and I came up with some information from cardiologists, and cardiologists are extremely strongly against anabolic steroid use, but they're also very wary of TRT use. And the reason for that is they see their patients come in. And listen, in America, and I know Britain is sort of getting there, but it's not anywhere close to America. But in America, if you go into the Deep South and you go to rural areas or you go in the Midwest, everybody, every male, and just about every female in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s has a gut. They're overweight. Okay. They're carrying too much. They're carrying an extra tire. That puts pressure on your heart as it is. Now you add TRT to that. Let's say you're a man, you're in your 50s, right? You're overweight. Even if you're 15, 20, 25 pounds overweight, which isn't a lot, but it is still overweight. Now you're taking TRT. And even if you run a proper amount of TRT, hypothetically, cardiologists will still notice, as Mobster said, your blood will thicken, your red blood cell count will go up. Literally, that is the point of using anabolic steroids to help with anemia and to raise your red blood cell count. Now, what happens when you raise your red blood cell count? You're thickening your blood, you're causing those arteries to get even more compressed. And then on to top it off, the bodybuilder diet is usually extremely high in things that clog up the arteries on top of it because you're excessively eating too much food. And because you want to build strength, you want to build muscle. So that makes the problem worse. So it's a domino effect. So you'll see cardiologists being, there was a guy on the forum the other day actually whining about this. He's like, oh, my doctor, doesn't like me using antibiotic steroids, blah, blah, blah. I want to tell her to kiss my ass. It's like, dude, your doctor's job, literally, in a legal perspective, is to help your health. So of course they're going to say that because if they don't say that and you get a heart attack, you can sue them for malpractice. So they legally have to tell you when you're, messed up, right? So if your doctor looks at your blood work and they see, wow, your red blood cell count is out, your hematocrit is up, your blood is really thick, they literally legally have to tell you and grab you and say, you gotta stop.
There's
So
not
Bob,
enough doc there's not enough doctors kicking people in the ass, Steve. Not enough.
In America, not enough at all. Because you know what it is? They've given up. They've given up because they know they're wasting their breath. Because people get their information from Facebook and social media and Joe Rogan and podcasts, right? And they don't get their information from good podcasts like us. They get their information from the bad podcasts because the bad podcasts tell them what they want to hear. You see? They don't tell them about the risks, they tell them about just the benefits. So absolutely, the point of this is, look, you're using a drug, as Mobster said, you're using a drug to thin your blood, and then you turn around and using something to thicken your blood. It's going to counteract each other, so you're spinning your wheels. And on top of that, you take a drug that makes the problem worse from, you have, this issue where you're opening yourself up for blood clots and strokes, and then you're taking, the anabolic steroid, the TRT, and then you're doing the drug on top. You can absolutely cure. So back in the day, when we used to be on Elite Fitness, it was actually against the rules. Like if someone came on the forum and said, "Hey, I'm on eight different drugs, I want to go on anabolic steroids," it was actually against the rules at that time to even tell them, "Hey, you shouldn't be using steroids." But now today, everybody's on a million drugs. Everybody has a history. Some type of history and pre-existing condition and something like that. So it's hard for you to just say that. Now people are going to do what they want to do. And we have a situation where people just are not aware of the interactions, as Mobster said. You're talking 200 drugs that can interact with testosterone. We're talking about just testosterone here. We're not talking about other anabolic steroids. We're not talking about oral steroids. Oral steroids
No,
will also
no.
strain your liver even more. If they're toxic, if they're 17 alpha alkylated, they're gonna really strain it as well. So you really have to be aware. Like my mentality is this: if you're on eight different drugs, should you go on TRT? I would say no. I would say, why don't you cut back on the amount of drugs you're taking by, attacking the ailments, And if you have high blood pressure, for example, aim to come off the blood pressure medication safely by getting your blood pressure down, say, the right way by exercise, diet, less stress, and all that good stuff, more sleep. All that makes a difference in your blood pressure. But if you still have to take blood pressure medication, obviously listen to your doctor and take blood pressure medication. But my mentality is you want to be on, essentially, you want to be like me and not take any drugs at all. I'm not on any drugs. And I function perfectly normal on no drugs at all. I don't need to be on any drugs. Now, if I get a headache one day or something, I have to take an aspirin. Okay, I'll take an aspirin. I'm not anti-drug. Or if I have an infection, I had a UTI a couple of years ago. I had to go to the doctor. I pissed in a cup. They got the results. They say, yeah, you have an UTI. We have to put you on antibiotics for 10 days. I said, okay, no problem. Put me on antibiotics today. So I'm not anti-drug. What I am anti is if you're on eight different medications and half of them interact negatively to anabolic steroids, even testosterone, even a TRT dose of testosterone. You don't want to put yourself in a bind and make yourself go in a situation. You put yourself in a bind, you put your doctor in a bind, and in the end, it doesn't do you any good.
Just as an example, we've mentioned this on other shows, Steve, with regards, Steve's used the example of eight medications. A statistic that I've mentioned a few times now, Steve, which I believe is out there for people to double check on, is that the average American adult, which would be the majority of our listeners, are on five prescribed medications for various reasons. And Steve's 100% correct. If you're obese, eat less, do more. If you have certain medical issues that are related to your obesity, like, for example, blood pressure, being less fat will lower your blood pressure. Certain jobs. My neighbor, Steve, Tuesday gave me a lift to the gym and happened to mention in the drive to the gym that he had a reading of 220 over 120 recently and had to go to hospital when he's not obese. What the fuck is happening to his blood pressure? So we had a conversation about that. This is one of the things that was interesting here, Steve, and I did say sometimes, and again, this is part of the issue when people kind of look at the way prescribed medications are given out and so on and so forth. There's a certain irony, and especially when it comes to performance enhancement. So one of the medications, it says here specifically, just let me read this one, that could interact are certain HIV medications. Now, it's kind of a weird irony here, Steve, because one of the places that bodybuilders used, AIDS victims and those with HIV used to get, the bodybuilders used to get their growth hormone from the surplus that had been prescribed to AIDS victims, people with HIV. And there's a certain degree of irony here because anabolic steroids are actually sometimes prescribed and was being used by people with AIDS and HIV because they would lose muscle mass. So the growth hormone and anabolic steroids were prescribed for these victims, these people that were suffering this issue, to retain the muscle mass or as much as possible to give them a quote unquote decent kind of lifestyle, assuming that they didn't pass away. And again, this is a few years ago. Things have changed since then. So it's a weird situation. And again, like Steve says, I'm not anti-medications or whatever else. I take a daily aspirin, Steve, which helps with my blood pressure. And again, that's because I'm on CRT and I will occasionally cycle steroids. And I'll cook like Steve, I'll take an anti-inflammatory if I get a headache, which would be something like ibuprofen, Advil, I believe you call it. But that's it. I'm on no prescription medications. I do not get treatment for these things. And that's because, like Steve, and again, the way that we put out it shows, we tried to take a red, kind of sensible, low dose, do what is effective, don't do crazy amounts, and so on and so forth. Just as a finishing point in this particular thing, and I've actually got this down as a potential podcast for the future. There's been a study that's come out recently, Steve, talking about the likelihood and how much more likely it is for professional bodybuilders compared to amateur bodybuilders, and certainly compared to the general population, to die a lot younger. And the argument for that goes thus. If we're talking about sensible doses, as we do on this show, we're not talking about crazy stacks or death stacks. And we've talked about this on other shows. So the idea of you doing 3, 4, 5 grams a week for 8 to 12 weeks of injectable steroids and growth hormone and peptides, et cetera, and arguably at the same fucking time, Steve, potentially either because of what you're doing with your stacks or because you had a pre-existing or even a family genetic medical condition, also doing prescribed medications makes no sense to me. Let's talk about briefly here, Steve, as a next point, and it's something that you and I have discussed
Let
before
me
about the idea of, sorry, about talk back talking to your doctor, but
yeah,
go on,
let
finish.
me start this one off, and then I'll let you basically definitely talk about it. So look, at the end of the day, you got to make a personal decision on how honest you need to be with your doctor. So with me, a couple years ago, I went to my doctor. It was actually a year ago. I can tell you it was actually less than a year ago. And it was week one of NFL, Monster. Week one of NFL. So I went to my doctor for my regular checkup, right? The week leading up to week one of the NFL. And week one of the NFL in America is like important. It's like in Britain, week one of your soccer, okay?
It's a
Whatever,
bit of a,
or
isn't
for
it a
your
bit of
rugby.
a party kind of vibe, Steve?
Well,
In
that's
the
more Super Bowl, but the week one is
yeah.
very exciting. You waited so long. You waited like, 8, 9 months for the start of football season. So it's like your rugby or your so I'm excited. I got everything ready. We're cooking up some wings in the air fryer. We're gonna watch the game, right? We're gonna watch fucking football all fucking day because there's football from 1 o'clock all the way, Mobster, to like 11 o'clock at night. I don't watch it the whole way, but I'll this depends. If my team loses, I won't watch it the rest of the day. But if my team wins, then I want to watch it, right? So anyway, we're getting excited. I get blood work done from my doctor, which I didn't even know. She just came up to me. She's like, okay, I'm going to draw your blood. I didn't know that she was going to send it off to get blood work done because I get my blood work done on my own anyway. About every 3 or 4 months, I get blood work done on my own. So I didn't know she was going to do this, but she said, oh, yeah, it's included. We're just going to draw your blood. I didn't know what she was doing that for. So anyway, like 3 days later, I get called Sunday fucking morning, right? From the doctor's office, believe it or not. And they're like, you have to come in. There's an abnormally in your blood work. And I'm like, what the fuck did they, I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I'm like, what the hell did they even test for? I didn't even know what they tested for, mobster. So the game's about to start, and I'm like, okay, let me just DVR the game and go to the fucking doctor, and I'm not gonna turn on the radio or anything. I don't want to know what happens with the game, and I'll just watch the game, when I get back. So I go to the doctor. I'm sitting there for an hour freaking out. I'm freaking out. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So I go in there finally, and the doctor comes in the room with these big eyes. She's like, are you on anabolics? She like looks at me. I had like a cut-off shirt that day, and she looks at my muscle, and then she looks at me. She's like, you're on anabolics, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, why? And then she's like, because your blood work, she like showed me your hematocrit is above range, your red blood cell counts. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like when I'm on cycle, my numbers get elevated and I usually donate blood. I've been slacking on that. I know I need to go donate blood. And then when I come off, my numbers come back down. And she's like, oh, she like touched her heart. She's like, oh my God, I got scared when I saw this because you look so healthy. I was shocked when I saw this blood work last time you were here. You look such in good shape. And I'm like, yeah. So if I would have lied to her and say, no, I'm not on anabolics, then what would have happened from there? She'd be like, okay, we got to go get scans, whatever. So basically it was a good laugh. And I'm like, you scared the shit out of me. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So then, I laughed and went home, watched the game. And so the point is, there's no need for you to lie to your doctor because when you lie, it's confusing them. I'll give you another example before I bring you in, mobster. So years ago, I moved into my apartment. And I had internet, right? I had what's called T1 internet, which I don't even know if they have that today. So it was the fastest internet you could get at that time. This was 25 years ago, right? So I went from having dial-up to T1 internet, which is a joke today, but back then it was super fast, right? For what we had access to. And I was using a router so I can plug up multiple devices in my house, right? So I called them up when the internet went down. And I was giving them like the IP address and all that other shit you're supposed to give them on the phone. They got confused. They're like, there's something wrong here. This isn't the right IP address, whatever. And it was because I didn't tell them that I was plugging up multiple devices because I was scared that if I said that, they would charge me more money. So what happened is the actual cable guy, I called him up who had installed it, and he's like, oh no, Steve, you don't have to lie to them. You don't have to tell them that you're not doing anything wrong. It's completely legal. They're not going to charge you more if you have that device. So at the end of the day, being honest and just cutting to this, I learned that right off the bat. I was only like 19 years old at the time. I learned that right off the bat. Just being honest and being straightforward will get you a lot further than beating around the bush and lying. In America, it's illegal for the insurance companies to deny you based on pre-existing conditions at this time. Now that law can change later on. Hopefully it won't, but it could it for now you don't have to lie. So it's much more better just to be honest with your doctor, and this way you're communicating correctly and you both are on the same page. Go ahead, Moss.
I've got to agree with Steve again. We don't do this on every show, Steve, but we certainly agree most of the time because we both come from the same sort of thought process. Look, I think in my case, Steve, I've been asked twice. One was specific to being 50 plus years of age, and because of the locals working, the majority of those 50 plus men had had some experience of working down the mines. The average age that they were living to was 5 years less than the average man in the United Kingdom. And I happen to have moved into the valleys, of course, at a little bit before my 50th birthday, 48, 49, whatever the fuck it was. And I came under that umbrella. So I go there, Steve, and my body mass index of 300 plus pounds would be high, even at 6 foot 3. But all my other numbers were in range. And I had no particular issues. My alcohol level was less than my alcohol consumption was less than the nurse doing the fucking checks, or one of the nurses. There were two. One of them was fatter in terms of her BMI being fat and my BMI being muscle with a little bit of fat, and so on. So look, guys, I've been, that was one. And the other one, I think I literally had a conversation where I think I'd gone there to make sure that I wasn't having problems, because if I strain and push my BP through the fucking roof doing a massive lift in the gym, on occasion I will have bleeding from my ass, basically obviously bleeding piles or something like that, see where vein or whatever has burst, and I've had blood when I've gone to the toilet. So I wanted to make sure I was having any prostate issues, that I didn't have anything major, nothing that required operation. And I've done this a couple of times, 40, 45, 50, and I'll probably have to do another one in a not too distant future. And that's, of course, about looking after my health as well, making sure that I'm not fucking destroying myself by lifting heavy weights. And on two occasions, certainly, I can think it was one for sure, maybe two occasions, I've had the, do you use steroids? And I've said, yes, I don't give two fucks if they look at me in a quote unquote, you're using medication, drugs, blah, blah, blah kind of way. A grown ass man, and I don't give a fuck. I'm not there enough for me to worry about what a doctor thinks. But at the same time, and I think this is super important when we're talking about these contraindications, Steve, and especially if I had to go to the hospital, and this applies to you, the listener, as well. Don't be doing something, and I say this in terms of what you're not talking to your doctor about, where you have a serious issue and you've had to go to the hospital, or you're having a serious enough issue that you've been to the doctors once or twice more than perhaps you normally would, and it's serious enough to worry you and perhaps require actual medical treatment in a hospital, as I said. That might mean you going to ER and having to stay in or have an operation. And they want to put you under anesthetic, or they want to put you on blood thinners, or they want to treat, for example, Steve, having an operation where if your blood's too thin, post-op can mean, for example, it takes a long time for you to stop bleeding. You might be on anti-clotting medication and so on and so forth. And the idea that you're going specifically for some kind of ailment that is that serious, that requires it to be treated in a certain particular way, and then you are, and I'll be kind of crude when I say this because I don't want to abuse our listeners, but you're a dumbass. I'm not going to tell him about the steroids because I don't need that shit. I would take the shit. I would take the shit purely and simply so they know how to fucking treat you and stop you bleeding or stop you recurring an operation or stop giving you the wrong medication. As an example, Stephen, I've talked about this on other shows. Back in 2016, I had a major back issue that required me essentially to do rehab for 16 fucking weeks, lay on the bloody floor, couldn't sleep in my bed for 8 of those 16 weeks. The next 8 weeks on the bed typically had me laid up for 16 or 17 hours a day. And this was from wear and tear. I had to do a lot of rehab. I had to go to the doctor, Steve, just for painkilling medication to get the right dose and the right meds 5 fucking times in the first 2 weeks, just to have some kind of ease and ability to go to sleep from the fucking pain. Now imagine that that was just a quote unquote backache, wear and tear, and required me 5 visits in bits, trying not to pass out with the pain, sweating buckets, etc. Really sort of up there, 9 out of 10 pain, that kind of bullshit. Now imagine you've got a serious, serious medical condition, guys. And again, the likelihood of you listening to the show that you're not going to have that. But it can happen. It does happen. And we've talked already about examples of this on the forum. I don't get, and like I said, it's purely, I don't give a fuck if I get that quote-unquote judgment or look from a doctor. I would rather they know, and if a serious issue occurred that required certain medication or required certain treatment, that I got the right treatment and the right medication so that I'm not in pain, I'm not bleeding out, I'm not having to have a certain treatment post-operation or whatever, because I decided somewhat foolishly or not, again, the listeners to the show, going to use performance enhancement, that's why they're listening, and I didn't happen to mention that to the doctor. It's going to sound like the kind of advice that your dad would give you or an uncle. I'm fine with that, guys, because we're trying to do this in a certain particular way that you get the best treatment, you get the best results, and you don't end up having to take, for example, another prescription medication that you didn't need because you hadn't happened to mention that you was taking anabolic steroids or you was doing a certain particular drug that produced bodybuilders will use, athletes will use for performance enhancement. And I'm actually thinking, Steve, just as an example again, when you are, if you are end up fortunate as some kind of highly paid, highly motivated, well-respected athlete, let's say, for example, like Steve mentioned earlier, American football, and you're on serious cash, let's call it $10 million a year, and people know your name and scream it out of the stadium, there's a good chance that you're probably going to use some kind of performance enhancement. I would argue in for you to play at your best, and not everybody listens to shows of bodybuilder. Some do other sports. Some want to be good at other sports. I'm more of a weightlifter, strength athlete. I would argue that for you to get the very best results, the longest career on the field, to be continue to be paid $10 million a year, I want to work with, at that point, Steve, it's going to be a private doctor. I'm going to work with someone who knows every fucking thing about what I'm doing. And in fact, arguably, if it's all possible, I would have them perhaps sit down with my PED guy, my prep coach, whatever, and have this person and that person communicate. So even if they approve or disapprove in terms of the medical profession, that's fine. So long as they're both on the same page when it comes to me having the best results, medically speaking. And that can be, for example, getting your numbers back to normal afterwards, understanding that your lipid profile might be off on cycle, but it returns to normal, helping you get those lipid profiles back to normal as quickly as possible, and so on and so forth, just for a longer, healthier career, Steve, and arguably making me a better athlete, better film star, better singer, better whatever the fuck it is that I'm using PEDs for, that's going to make me tens of millions of dollars. And if we apply that same approach to us gym bunnies, to us people that just like the grind and go to the gym to look good and feel good, and we have something of that approach, Steve, then I would argue ultimately you're doing yourself a favor. You are, after all, looking after yourself. There's a certain degree of irony, just to finish on that particular thought, Steve, where some of the old timers will talk about this and they'll say bodybuilding is supposed to be this super healthy thing, especially what we call or used to be called the physical culture, which is eating clean, training well, doing certain other kinds of exercise outside the gym and looking fucking amazing and feeling amazing. And ultimately, over time, and especially at the top end of any of these sports, because all these sports can be difficult at the very elite level, bodybuilding arguably has become less healthy. And I think something that I take a certain degree of pride in, and I think Steve does as well, is that while we are pro-choice, because we absolutely are, that's why we give out this information, we're also, we think long-term, we think long-term health, we think long-term ability to do the same things. The idea that you can be lifting in your 60s, the idea that you can stay healthy as possible, it shouldn't just be the superficial, look good, but feel shit, look good, but be on 5 prescribed medications, and so on. So it should always be that kind of holistic approach, Steve, which is a lovely word, in terms of, by all means, as we are doing with the show, look at the benefits of TRT, but equally understand if you are going to use TRT and you're not talking to your doctor, it might contradict the prescribed medications you'll be given for specific medical conditions, and you must understand that those are potentially possible. So what about, Steve, the idea of you and I taking a sort of, if we were using parapharma products, I kind of
so let me go over price. Let me go over some of the notes I have, and then I'll let you kind of finish out your thoughts on the show. So look, parapharma to use by plenty of people who do with TRT, self-TRT. I know several people just on the forum who use parapharma for their self-TRT. Look, the most common options of testosterone, if you wanted to do a TRT, would be, of course, test SIP and test E, because you're able to pin them once a week, no problem. Now, some people do test E twice a week. Test SIP you could do once a week, once every 10 days, even once every 2 weeks is fine. Another option is their Sustanon. And the Sustanon, they can be, you can inject it every 2 to 3 weeks at a higher dosage. And then it basically, each ester picks up after another. And Sustanon, before some of you freak out, was designed for TRT. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. A lot of people think, oh, you're supposed to inject Sustanon every other day. No, you're not. Sustanon was designed for TRT. every 2 to 3 weeks, you inject a higher dosage. Now, they also have other options. If you want to use testosterone as HRT, you can even do some of their mixes. They have a testosterone Boldo 400, which is a mix of testosterone and equipoise. You can do a mix of DECA and test as well. They have a DECA and test 400, and that's good for someone who likes to use DECA for joint help and building more appetite. So if you're someone who suffers from low appetite, you're someone who suffers from being, quote unquote, anorexic, as people call it, or you're just extremely underweight and you have low test levels and you want to go on TRT to or HRT to get more appetite and build more size and build more mass on your frame, that might be a good option. Either one of those would be a good option. The test EQ and the test DECA. Either one would be a good option for that. But the test DECA especially will definitely boost your appetite. So look, those are our options for Parapharma. They're good quality gear. They also have some shorter esters, but you don't want to do short ester. If you're doing TRT, you don't want to do short. You don't want to do propionate. You don't want to do suspension and have to inject more often. The whole because you're just gonna use up a bunch of needles, and it's gonna get really annoying that you're using up that many needles and having to inject all the time. So it makes more sense to inject less frequently. So you want to stick to the longer esters of Parapharma. Mobster?
Again, agreeing with Steve, and I'm just looking at a couple of Parapharma products here, Steve. They've got a Testo 400, which is an enanthate, and you would take, if you were doing 200 milligrams, half a fucking mil. That'd be fabulous, Steve. And their Testo Cyprinate 250 milligrams. I would want to be taking about 75 or 0.75 of a mil there, Steve, just to get it a fraction under 200. But that, again, for me, works absolutely perfectly. I have specifically, personally tried Parapharma products as a result of a cut stack that I did back in the day using one of the approved brand resellers, and had fabulous results, absolutely. And there's a log of mine on the forum that covers that time, so I've got great experience with Parapharma products. The reseller got the products to me super fucking quick, arguably one of, if not the quickest I've ever had product delivered to me. So that was absolutely fabulous. So listen, I've done that. The reason why we talk about companies, I'll touch on this now, Steve. Like Parapharma, and again, especially when we're looking at TRT, is if I'm going to be doing TRT, and we're talking about, as I said earlier on, arguably for life, year round, I want to use a source of a product that is as good as me going to a clinic or as good as me going to a doctor. And so I had a silly little conversation this morning where someone had looked at something else, another source thing, and the source quoted on their website that the standard of, in their opinion, PEDs had fallen off. And you and I have actually argued the opposite. It used to be the case that the standard for performance enhancing drugs from suppliers was really bad. We've talked about kitchen sink labs, labs in fucking lockups, labs, pills being made in a cement mixer. Please God, it was a clean one. Who the fuck knows? Issues with abscesses, issues with post-injection pain, having to smuggle your steroids across the border from an underground, literally underground Mexican lab, and all the rest of the bullshit that historically is known when it comes to UGL style performance enhancing, and specifically anabolic steroids here. And I actually have said this on another show with Steve, that these companies like Parapharma are now as good as they've ever fucking been. Absolutely, because all the things I've just mentioned doesn't really fucking happen anymore, Steve. I wouldn't buy my stuff. I would go to an approved source. I'm not going to get some no name, never heard of you, whatever the fuck brand. And one of the things I've talked about on this show, Steve, is the idea that you and I can talk about a company like Parapharma, and then instead of just being like a promo of me and you bigging up a company, I go, look, guys, we can say this on a show, and maybe it's your first time listening to the show, you've never heard of it. So what can you do? You can go away and check out specific Parapharma website. You can click on their lab test. You can take the code from the test that's presented to you on that page, and then take the reference number, go to the actual lab, because it's nearly always the same lab that the big names are using. Put that number into their search and see the original lab test and see if that verifies that the product you've just looked at, the lab test you just saw on a Parapharma site, is legit. You can come onto the forums and find an example, which we've mentioned on previous shows, of users that have had product tested. This is not ROI test. This is literally a vial sent to an actual laboratory where they've taken a product and they've tested it for clarity, cleanliness, hygiene, and obviously that the dose of the steroid that's supposed to be on the label is correct for the dose and is the steroid it says it is on the label. We talked about post-injection pain and how we don't see that anymore. I think on another show, Steve, I've discussed that how you and I, when we first came online and started to talk about performance enhancement, would see the horror stories of people using Superdrol with having jaundice because they treated it as a supplement, or people that had to go to ER or A&E, as we say in this country, and had blood drawn from their ass because they had a swelling, been given antibiotics, or worse, had an abscess cut out. That doesn't fucking happen anymore. And it doesn't happen because companies like Parapharma's standards have gone better and better and better. You go on multiple forums outside of our family of forums and see Parapharma get mentioned. You can literally do review checks for Parapharma. And again, you can hold this up. I'm thinking again, stuff I literally had in my little stash for years, Steve, a product that was so crashed, I don't think any amount of boiling water was ever going to sort of dissolve it and uncrystallize this product. And I used it when people came over and talked about PEDs, which was only a rare thing, to say, look, this is how bad certain products used to be. And I've got one example here because I want to show you just how fucking shitty they've been in the past. And then they go, what else? And I said, listen, I've used Parapharma, I've used this company, I've used this company. Here's the product that I'm going to be using for my next cycle. This is what I'm doing for my TRT. And they can literally see for themselves product X, which was fucking shit, and then product Y, Z, and so on and so forth, which are fabulous, whether it's holograms, whether it's batch numbers, whether it's code references that you can go on to, scratch things I've seen, Steve, where you can scratch off the back of the label and go on to the Parapharma website and check that this is a legit Parapharma product and so on and so forth. So you can check for yourself, guys. Make sure that you're aware of the quality of Parapharma, and if you're going to do TRT, they have some fabulous products for you. As always, please note we are not doctors and the opinions are ours. It's our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast are for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.